go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy in Vermont. Loud and clear on TuneIn, Bob, says Jeremy. That is much appreciated. Here it is, the 12th day of May, 2015. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. That's where we come from. Well, you know, and as well as the whole West Virginia thing. But, yeah, headonradionetwork.com is where you go if you want to pop by, for instance, the chat room and participate in the raucous, rousing, good-time, real-time, multimedia extravaganza that is the Head On Radio Network chat room, capably moderated this evening by Sparky, our third-stage guild navigator who has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. And Little jingle of the cowbell for folks who are there, you know, right there when the program starts. Good evening to 4 of 9 and Jeremy and Kathy and Laborman and, of course, Man Cave Sparky. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. And, yes, indeed, The Horn is, in fact, a listener-supported effort and has been for, lo, yea, verily, these many, many years. And it's also occasionally a host-supported effort. Good evening, Waggy. Waggy just wandering by. Madagascar's in the house. All right. So if you would like to help keep The Horn on the air, there are two ways to do it. One is by going over to headonradionetwork.com and using the PayPal interface there. It's very easy. Never mind the more intrusive queries on that fields on that page. Just fill out enough to get to the second page. Get to the next screen. It's always just get to the next screen. And there you make your choices, whatever. You can do it that way. And there you can make a one-time contribution. Or you can do, like others have done, and you can set up a recurring subscription, which is really cool, too. Those are very, very helpful. So that would be, that's entirely up to you. Let's see, and thanks to Sal for setting up a subscription. That came through just a little bit ago, and that's very, very encouraging. Also, well, thanks to Sal and thanks to Chris in Germany, we have... We caught up with last night's shortfall. Thank you, both of you. That means we've got $200 to raise this evening, and hopefully that will happen quickly, and I can just shut my mouth about the fundraising. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, that's more than understandable, and you can just send checks and money orders to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV, 25801, and do please remember make those things payable to the Horn, and not to Bob Kincaid, because Boss Man Wayne handles all of that stuff on that end. Okie dokie. All right, so that takes care of that stuff. And, of course, this being the 12th day of May, 2015, it means that it is also Tuesday, which means that it is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday on The Horn. Titanic Tuesday being so named, going back in time to a morning when our buddy Jim tuned in to the local 962nd tier right-wing babbler over on at the AM station in America's fifth smallest radio market, I think. I don't know. But he tuned in just in time to hear one of the mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, strychnine-handling, serpent-swallowing, freaks call in and ask, "Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I done seed them myself, and we ain't nowhere near the beach, and we all know that the earth's only 6,000 years old. You reckon the devil put them there? To confuse the unbelievers?" To which the genial 962nd tier right-wing blatherer replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." No word yet on the movement of the Titanic souffle tureens, ramekins. No word on the movement of this Titanic souffle ramekins. I like that word, ramekins. Sounds like something that, I don't know, runs around with a gnome. Anyway, that's where Titanic Tuesday got its name. And on Titanic Tuesday, we celebrate the Titanic efforts at intellect present in the right wing on any given day of the week, but particularly on Tuesdays. Yes. And that being the case, well, the whole Jade Helm dumbassery continues, of course, but that's not where we're going this evening. We have lots of Titanic intellects this evening. Since Michelle 1L Bachman absented herself from the House of Representatives in the United States of America, it left a little bit of a dumbass vacuum. That's a scientific term, I hope you understand. It left a bit of a dumbass vacuum, and that means that, nature and wingnuts abhor a vacuum. So that left room for Tennessee Stan's very own version of Michelle Bachman, who is in fact Marsha Blackburn. See, Michelle Bachman left, and they didn't even have to change the initials for the princess dumbass of the House of Representatives. Yeah, we could have saved this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but Marsha Blackburn. Marsha. Oh, my nose. Marsha couldn't wait, because we'll have brand new right-wing religion industry freaks by tomorrow, and we'll probably have more of them than we can get to. And, of course, what we're all worried about now that all over this here fruited plain, the Homer sectionals can be a getting married up. We're worried about the fact that the Homer sectionals are promptly going to be, they're going to start to persecuting the Christians. Well, not the Christians, but the heretics. Remember, it was the Right Reverend Marilyn Bowens who informed us that these right-wing fundamentalists are engaged, in fact, in a Christian heresy, and are not really Christians at all, but they think they are. Man, they're going to have a rude awakening coming up on that great burning up morning. Yeah. Marsha Blackburn is worried all about the persecution of the Christians by the Homer sectionals. They're going to start dancing into their churches and forcing them to dress fashionably. They're going to make sure that their homes are tastefully appointed. gone will be the tackiness of that has been a hallmark of Christian homes for eons now. Well, you know, the evangelical fundamentalists, the homosexuals will probably come in and take away all the dead animal heads that adorn so many Christian homes all over the South in the U.S. Indeed, the greatest country in the world on earth now, forever, today. Absolutely. Amen. So, you know, last night we had the clip of David Bossie's mother-in-law comparing people who live and immigrate from south of the border to north of the border. She compared them to cockroaches and rats. Well, that same Clavern meeting, which was the South Carolina Freedom Summit, they invited Marsha Blackburn to talk. And then, silly people, they invited her to talk to reporters, and she told reporters about how the Christians were going to be persecuted in the new United States and the greatest country in the world on earth now, forever, today. Well, let's go to the audio, shall we? Yes. Representative Marsha Blackburn.
One of the things that we should be doing here is being very strong in our stance with religious freedom in our country. And that is something that is a debate that is going to continue. But people are, through the Bill of Rights, they're given the ability to worship and to peacefully assemble. And we need to remain true to that. Our allies around the globe want to see us stay strong on our rights and not erode those rights. That is an important component for us, and it helps in other parts of the world when we continue, when we do that. With the human rights violations and religious persecutions around the globe, we need a State Department that is going to step in and say, this is not acceptable.
Do you feel that Christians are being persecuted in this country?
I think that we've got some issues where religious freedom is certainly up for debate and discussion, and we want to make certain that individuals have the right to continue to worship and to exercise their religious beliefs.
Can you be specific about the instances in which you feel that Christians are being persecuted?
You know, there have been several lately. I can't give you a specific right off the cuff. I'm sorry.
No.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Marsha. Thanks. Goodness. No, I can't come up with a speak because they don't exist, but I can't say that because this is the South Carolina Freedom Summit. And if I say that at the South Carolina Freedom Summit, they won't invite me back, and they won't invite me to the Hooterville Freedom Summit, and they won't invite me to the Bug Tussle Freedom Summit, and it'll just be terrible. Of course, it goes without saying that Marsha couldn't come up with an answer to where the Christians are being persecuted in the new United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, to get today, forever, because it isn't happening. Yeah, I haven't seen anywhere, Lord knows not here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. I haven't seen anybody coming along, you know, those hordes of atheists coming in to board up their churches or the very, very well outfitted army of homosexual agenda activists coming to repurpose the churches as places that aren't the vituperative, pustulant dens of hate. Nobody's keeping them from worshiping. And nobody's making them marry up the homosexuals. But it's something we've got to guard against, because, you know, every day the flyer goes out to the homosexual agenda people, and it tells them that today might be the day that we can finally start persecuting the Christians by making them learn to, well, like the teabaggers, teaching them to spell and stuff like that. Right. Now, does this give you an idea that we're probably on the road to some pretty top quality Titanic intellect? And yeah, we haven't focused on any Duggars in a while, but you know how and by the way, piece of good news, we always have to focus on the good news. There was some good news today. They had a little procedural vote on fast-tracking the TPP in the Senate of the USA, and lo and behold, they didn't get to them 60 votes that they needed. Somehow or another, Mitch McConnell could not shepherd up 60 votes to fast-track. Nope, sure couldn't. Of course, I'm sure Mitch, the chinless wonder, was kind of at sixes and sevens. I mean, he wants the business, but he hates to do anything that one in his White House might actually like. And so it fell short. So the TPP, while not dead, did sustain a right serious toe stubbing this afternoon. Yay! And thank you to those members of the United States Senate, almost all of them Democrats, who protected of what few little manufacturing jobs we have left in the new United States of America. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we haven't had the Duggars on in a while. They do get around, and there's so many of them you can't hardly keep track. But Jessica and Ben, Jessica Duggar and Ben Seawald, and since she's a good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered woman, that makes her Jessica Seawald, because I'm sure she didn't keep her. Well, then again, it's a brand, not so much as a name. But they went down to the Institute for Creation Research, and see, I chuckled a little bit because you can't say that without laughing some. And that's when Ben Seawald engaged in conversation with one of their creation researchers. Yeah, you're going to love this. You might want a hockey puck.
Here at the Institute for Creation Research. And so, Dr. Lyle, I'm gonna come across as, say I'm an atheist, all right? And, or somebody that really is skeptical.
Ooh, role-playing, kinky. Ben Seawald is going to play like he are an atheist. Oh, really? Hockey puck. Duct tape. Mm-hmm. It's because it's always fun when fundamentalist evangelicals role play as atheists.
...of God. Alright. So, one question that we might get a lot is, how can you prove to me that God really exists? I mean, we've got all this science over here and stuff, but...
Science and stuff, because that's exactly what an atheist sounds like. I mean, there's science and stuff, therefore there is no God. Man, he's got the atheist right down pat, doesn't he?
You know, if God really exists, then where's the evidence? Where's
this is the absolute it's the epitome of this is why Titanic Tuesday exists. This really is the Titanic intellect of the right wing.
Proof. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because in a way it's like a fish asking for evidence of the existence of water. It's something that's all around that, you know, that he couldn't exist without.
Really? Gods are all around? God's all around? I mean, what, the ghost in the machine? Is that, what are we talking about? Hey, get up! Oh, no, that was a stink bug. Never mind. That wasn't God. Well, let's find out from Dr. Lyle.
Not that God is the universe or anything like that. I'm not a pantheist.
God, carpe diem, God's a fish, fish is God, fish God, what?
But nonetheless, the evidence of God is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. And in fact, Romans 1 tells us that God has revealed himself to everyone. And what that means is there really is no such thing as an atheist.
By the way, Romans 1 is not a scientific document. It is, of course, a letter attributed to Saul of Tarsus, who pissed off so many people that he had to change his name to Paul and take it on the lam, and was eventually arrested, and that was his letter to the Romans that he wrote while he was hallucinating his brains out in prison, apparently. But it's not a scientific document, and but you knew that, right? Yeah, God's ubiquitous. You better be careful using them big words about God. God might strike him dead with a lightning bolt or something, or a stink bug.
There are those people who profess to be atheists, but in their heart of hearts, they know that there's God because God has revealed himself to everyone. He's hardwired us to know that he exists. He's hardwired us in such a way that when we look and...
See, he's a scientist. He can use the word hardwired. That must mean he's really a scientist who can find God, but he can't. He can say God's revealed himself to us. He can say that God's all over the place, but he can't point to anywhere and say, see, God. Now, you can break down elements, and you can say, see, carbon. Or you can break down an element and say, see, uranium-238. Oh, shit. You know, that kind of thing. But you can't do that and say, oh, look, God.
To the universe, we immediately recognize is the handiwork of God. And not just a God, the God.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, you know, the work of some pissant like Vulcan or Poseidon or Hephaestus was Vulcan's other name. Lo, they have many names. None of that, or Freya or Loki or Woden or Thor. No. And it sure wasn't that Allah fella neither. This was the God. You know, Huitzilopochtli. Poachley. No. Yahweh. That God.
Recognize God. And so I don't really have to give new evidence to a professing atheist. All I have to do is to expose his suppressed knowledge of God, because you see in Romans...
Uh-oh, Dr. Freud. Yes, Robert. Did you notice? Yes, his slip was showing. He wants to suppress the atheist. I understand. You called me for that. Did you understand how much I charge? It's portal to portal. All you have to do is suppress the atheist. You heard it there.
Romans 1 again, it tells us that the reason that unbelievers profess that they say there's no God, et cetera, it's not because they don't know him. It's because they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, the Bible says. They know God, but they're holding...
You know, just like this guy is probably suppressing the urge to go out and spend a little money and maybe spend the evening snorting meth off a hooker's butt. Them evangelical fundamentalists are prone to that, you know. I mean, they know from suppression and repression.
Down that knowledge of God, even from themselves, and sometimes they're partially successful in convincing themselves that they don't believe in God. So what I would do is I would point out that the way they behave and the knowledge that they have shows that in their heart of hearts they really do know God and they really do believe in God in their heart of hearts. One example of this would be morality. I would point out that my secular friend who says, oh, there's no such thing as God, nonetheless he believes in right and wrong. He believes that some actions are morally commendable and others are morally despicable.
Yeah, see, and you can't do that without God. You can't come to that without knowing about Yahweh. Because them other little pissant gods, they can't convey that. I mean, no. Kukulkan, yeah, forget it. The flying spaghetti monster, oh, please. Yes, and in both instances, Marty, the stupid is strong with this one. Yes, the all-powerful spaghetti monster, Steve. That's exactly who this goob is talking about. No, it's not. Sadly, this is not going to be over nearly as quickly as we'd like. Our friend Luda asking, Bob, isn't there a law against revealing yourself? Zing! Okay. That's worth the cowbell. Jeremy in Vermont noting, speaking of suppression, I've suppressed the urge to throw my phone at the floor in anger to these two dipshits. I understand. Don't spit out the hockey puck.
Because
atheists have no morals, and the proof that they don't just walk around stomping babies is proof that they really secretly believe in God.
How would that be if there's no God? If the universe is just chance and our bodies are just the result of evolution, we're just basically a chemical accident. Well, what one chemical accident?
Well, you might be a chemical accident, doctor.
Does to another is morally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. I mean, when baking soda and vinegar react and they fizz up, that's just what they do. You don't get mad at the baking soda, bad baking soda. You shouldn't have fizzed up like that. It's just chemistry doing what chemistry does. And so the fact that people get upset when someone violates a moral code, it shows that in their heart of hearts they do know that there's a God who has set rules for us, the rules that are the same for all of us because we're all made in His image. We all answer to God. God will hold us.
Well, the Homer sectionals ain't, and I wish you'd quit implying that they are. Dang it. If God's all around us, doesn't that kind of make Him a little bit creepy? I mean, most of us with our moral senses, if we open the door and somebody's and a couple of people in there are having sexy time, we have the common decency to leave, but God doesn't. He just sits there and watches. Ew. Or for that matter, we've kicked God out of the schools, but He's all around. He walks through. He's the God who walks through walls. How is it we're keeping Him out of the schools? Especially when it's the atheists doing it, and there ain't really any atheists. This guy's getting convoluted enough that I think he's going to get a statue in a Hindu pantheon pretty quick. They're pretty open about it,
Accountable for actions. Morality makes sense in the Christian worldview. It does not make sense in the atheistic worldview. Mm.
Morality only makes sense in the Christian worldview. Morality doesn't make any sense in the Buddhist worldview nor the Hindu worldview because they got all them little pissant powerless gods just thought they made the universe and stuff. It doesn't make sense in the Muslim worldview. No, they ain't got no morals over there. We all know that. Headloppers!
Objections, of course, that sometimes atheists will give is they'll say, well, if God exists, then why is there all this evil in the world? And I would point out that if God doesn't exist...
Women! That's just easy. Women! Evil's in the world because Eve had a conversation with a gossipy water moccasin and she talked so much it kind of dried her out a little bit, and there was a nice juicy apple hanging there, and the devil, the in the form of a talking snake, said, "Well, that'll quench your thirst, and afterward I'll show you how to make cider, but just take you a bite." And that's how evil entered the world, women.
There's no such thing as evil, and so the fact that there is evil in the world is actually a proof of the existence of God, because nothing would be morally right or wrong apart from a God who has set standards for behavior for all of us and one who will hold us accountable for our actions.
some nights I just, and I know he's listening, so I don't know if he's listening live or listening to the podcast, but some nights I'm just glad that Dr. John is not listening live. I presume you're not Dr. John. I hope you're not Dr. John, because dang it, that's a furniture kicker. Somewhere, poor old Aristotle is trying to reconstitute himself out of the ashes into which he was burnt after he died, just to come back, just to set the way-up machine. Archimedes, set the way-up machine for Dr. Lyle. I need to slap the snot out of him. Parents will not let a 5-year-old get away with reasoning like that. We don't like it when people do mean shit to us, therefore there is God. Because only God could make it so we would recognize it, that when somebody comes along and punches us in the face, that's the wrong thing to do. you'll notice, well, no, not notice, I mean, this is radio, but it may have occurred to you that our atheist over here, young Mr. Ben, what's his, Schnickelgruber? No. Mr. Ben Seawald, you'll notice he's being awful quiet because, see, he is an atheist and he is confronted by far more formidable reasoning. Marty noting by email, holy circular logic, Batman! And around and around and around she goes.
In an atheistic worldview, right and wrong is just nothing more than personal opinions. Anything more like when you say, I don't like anchovies on a pizza, that has the same moral value as murder is wrong to an atheist. Those are the same kind of statements. It may displease you, but that's all you can say. And so morality is one example of many that I could pick that shows that even the atheist in his heart of hearts does know.
Kill the anchovy eaters!
The biblical God.
So even when they're presenting that question, they're operating on a theistic worldview, almost.
Hey, you're not being an atheist, Ben Seawald. See, he's already been converted. That's what happens whenever an atheist gets around a superior moral Christian intellect.
Presupposing that God does exist in order to ask this question of, if God exists, then why is there evil in the world?
That's exactly right. And the way Van Til put it, and Bonson following after him, is that in a way the atheist is like a little child who's sitting in his father's lap, slapping his father and spitting on him and insulting him and so on. He's only able to do it because his father is supporting him. And the atheists are like that. They're using God's laws of logic. They're using a sense of morality that God gave them in order to argue against the very God who makes such things possible.
Wow, that's really amazing.
Cool.
I've gotten to listen to the great debate, Dr. Bonson versus Dr. Gordon Stein, that happened several years ago. And that was really interesting. I had to listen to it a few times because, you know, they're, you know,
pretty... Yeah, you know, I mean, like... Here! There's a reason we call it Titanic Tuesday.
Smart. So, look up some of those big...
No, like, wait, where's your tattoo? Where's your tattoo? Unscannable!
Words, but that was really interesting how, really, every time Dr. Stein would point out, you know, well, religion is the cause of a lot of these evils in the world and different things like that, Dr. Bonson would say, hold on, is there really evil in your worldview? And you're just presupposing that God exists. You're borrowing from my worldview in order to combat my worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's...
I kid you not, this is part of the video, so I kid you not. It's a precious camera angle because it now appears that young Mr. Ben Seawald has a hat in the shape of the Millennium Falcon. No, really. There's a model of the Millennium Falcon sitting on this creationist's the metal bookshelf, and this is shot with just such a perfect angle that he's either the Millennium, either he has the Millennium Falcon on his head, or the Millennium Falcon has an evangelical fundamentalist on its ass.
It kind of gets really to the root of the matter. And I know there is a lot of also scientific evidence. We are here at the Institute of Creation Research. And there is a lot
definitely,
of...
Definitely, dude.
Really, all science is just...
I mean, like, it's
the,
science, you know?
The validation of the Genesis account.
Mm-hmm.
And so, check it out, Institute of Creation Research.
Yeah, let's, like, okay, so I think, like, the rest part of this is going to be, like, Ben sitting there saying, no, really, you know? Sometimes Titanic Tuesday can be challenging, to say the least. But we do have to pay attention, because these goobers are absolutely certain. Remember, Marsha Blackburn said the Christians are going to get persecuted And she might not have had any examples, but, well, America's truth detector, the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, he can tell you what's going to happen because he has talent on loan from God.
There's a lot of news out there today, ladies and gentlemen, about a study on religion and Christianity. Here it is right here. It's from, the Pew Center. New U.S. Religious Landscape Study. And here's the nuts and bolts of this. In 2007, 78.4% of Americans were Christian. In 2014, only 70.6. So, essentially an 8% drop in people who identify as Christian since Obama became president.
That's it. The Kenyan Muslim usurper has used his Kenyan Muslim usurper raise to de-Christianize 8% of America. That's got to be it. It couldn't possibly be that perhaps watching an allegedly Christian president wage a Christian crusade against people who had never raised arms against the United States and seeing the carnage and the broken and shattered and dead of America's military come home and knowing also that there were a million Iraqi civilians that Christian president killed, that couldn't possibly have driven anybody away from the church. I mean, and on top of that, it couldn't possibly be that people like the Duggars or Louis Gohmert or Brian Fisher or James Dobson or Kenneth Copeland and his anti-vaxxer daughter. It couldn't possibly be that people are hearing more, and Pat Robertson are hearing more and more about these, about the pastor, governor, brother Mike Huckabee and his cinnamon-based, no really, diabetes cure that he did infomercials for. It couldn't possibly be that Americans are looking at that and saying, you know, that's Christianity? No thanks. No, it's the Kenyan Muslim usurper and his Kenyan Muslim usurper ray of doom.
The study on religion finds that under the Obama years, we have this dramatic drop, and even after this dramatic drop of 8%, Christians still comprise 70% of the population. Even after a dramatic, almost 10%, let's round it up, it's a 10% drop in people who identify as Christians. That's key. They may still be, they're just not admitting it. But even at that, yet 70% of the country identifies as Christian, less than 1% of the country identifies as Muslim. In the Pew research paper here, it's zero.
No, no, not Pew, Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew is their name.
0.9%. Now, let me make an additional point about this, about the drop from 78%, 78.4% down to 70.6% in the last 8 years. The last 8 years have not been static. They have been dynamic. There have been a lot of things happening in various denominations around the country that might explain this drop.
I wonder what that could possibly be.
The Methodists, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the American version of the...
Jesus, do you hear the noise in the background? Has he fallen so far now that they've got him broadcasting from the copy room where Cletus is Xeroxing his butt again?
Church of England have had dramatic changes in their structure and their organization. Many of these churches within these denominations now perform homosexual marriage. They ordain gay pastors and ministers, and in some cases, female and lesbian pastors and ministers.
Disgusting. disgusting.
Which...
Oh, they're witches too? Wait, what?
You might think would cause some people to leave those churches if they disagreed with the decisions made.
See, those are what we call highly attenuated possibilities. On the other hand, I still say that ever since Barack Obama was elected, the fundies have become such a gang of mouthy assholes that nobody wants to be associated with their God. I'm betting that's a larger part of that number. We could go and maybe look at the Pew Research. It comes out once every year or two. But, really... On the one hand, you got the fundies, and then on the other hand, you've got the people who consider themselves to be decent Christians, but they won't even fight back against these evil bastards. No, because we don't want to be like them. Let's have a yard sale. Ooh, a rummage sale. That could be good.
Those denominations, the Methodists, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, dropped a lot of members. And I don't know whether they have picked up another church or they don't go to church at all, but they have left their churches because of social issues.
Well, I was going to say socialism, at which point I would have to run, put my foot in the bucket and sing. Have you ever seen a news story, ever, even one, about how every morning... Every Sunday morning, every sunny Sunday morning down there on the Florida coast, Flush Flimball gets up and puts on his Sunday best and lets his wife out of the pit that he keeps her in, and they go toddling off to a house of worship. No, me neither. Just like there were precious few event occasions where Ronald Reagan was seen going to church, or Richard Nixon. Or George W. Bush. Naturally, however, the only thing the for-profit media can report is, the Kenyan Muslim usurper has not gone to church again. That's probably because he has a prayer rug in our White House, which he bends over 5 times daily to bow toward Mecca.
And the evolution of their churches to social areas they didn't want to go and don't feel comfortable being in. And I don't even say that to be controversial. It's just what it is.
Just say that because you're wasted on dope.
Probably words that the left doesn't want to hear. Words like that the left would tag as intolerant. I'm not tolerating or intolerating anything. I'm just telling you, I'm guessing why the numbers are what they are. Because if you look at the evangelical churches, they haven't lost anything. Their membership is holding pretty steady, where the message has remained the same, where the mission has remained the same.
The song remains the same. Oh, wait. No.
Where the members of the church don't think any corruption is taking place, they're still hanging in there. Some might say the churches that haven't fallen prey to the dark side. All of this...
Huh? The dark side? Really? Luke. No, not gonna. Won't do it.
Silly social evolution. But even with this drop, 70% of the country still identify as Christians. And yet, it gets back to the question I raised the other day. How is it possible that less than 1 million gay activists are able to bully and steamroll an entire country on the subject of marriage?
Non sequitur? Objection? Where did we... What?
By the same token, how is it that 70% of the population can be bullied and silenced... and coerced into accepting societal evolution with which they disagree because of their religious beliefs.
Oh, man, the dope is kicking in.
It's not just the Republican Party caving, folks. It's not just the Republican Party not engaging in pushback. There's a whole lot of groups that make up the majority in this country, one way or the other, who are not pushing back.
I have not until this evening felt the profound urge to put that swirly straw in that 1.75 liter bottle of straight-up 100% Puro de Agave that was kindly contributed to the effort by our dear friend Asa in Vancouver. I'm there. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, Jeremy. See, Jeremy in Vermont knows there's really a God because it's given him a moral compass, because Jeremy just noted, you know, there's a joke to be made about the still hanging in there line that Flush used. Jeremy says, but I'm just going to keep walking. Keep on walking. Keep walking. Don't look back. You'll turn into a pillar of salt, Jeremy. Keep walking. Yeah, see, Marty was ahead of me. What are the drinking game rules again, Bob? Oh. Yes, it's Titanic Tuesday, and the stupid is strong with all of these, Marty. All of these. And thank you very kindly to our friends at Media Matters for America, who took one for the team to sit there and, as their ears bled, sampling this 55 million dollars a year he gets for babbling that kind of stupidity into a microphone. There is no justice. Busy, busy, busy. Okay, over to something considerably more serious. You know, we've talked from time to time about the perfectly harmless fracking fluid that is used by the frackers. It's just water, right? Yeah. Well, here in almost level West Bicol, Virginia, Stan, there's a truck driver who was perfectly happy getting a paycheck in the fracking industry. He worked for an outfit called Range Resources. It was back 2 years ago. It was May of 2013. When he pulled his truck over because he found it was leaking, and he was carrying fracking fluid, which he was told was harmless. Well, because if he wanted to keep on getting that paycheck, he had to stop that leak, and there was nobody else to help him because freedom. Russell Evans tried to stop the leak and was inundated by frack fluid. After he was inundated by frack fluid, another employee of Range Resources Corporation told Russell Evans that he could not leave the job site, and told him that for 2 hours. But along the way also said, hey, Russ, don't worry about it. That ain't going to hurt you. Ain't gonna hurt you tall. You're gonna be fine. Hey, and Russ said, "Well, what do you say? Do we have a chemical bath I can take to get this stuff off of me?" And no, the boss there at Range Resource said, "No, you just go on up the road to McDonald's and wash it off of you there." So, as a result of that, according to the suit papers, in fact, what the suit papers say is, due to the fact that Mr. Evans was told the reused water was harmless, he remained in his wet clothes for several hours while he drove back to Equipment Transport LLC's terminal in Dallas Pike, West Virginia. In total, Mr. Evans remained in these clothes for over 4 hours. Can't you imagine what it'd be like if the boys at Range Resources were working at Fukushima? Oh, hell no, you're just glowing a little bit. Go wash that off down to McDonald's. So, no, it turns out he was not okay. And eventually Mr. Evans went to a Med Express, you know, a dock in a box, a quack in a shack. Because we can't have universal single-payer health care that would, because he probably, well, it probably would have been cripplingly expensive for him to go to a real ER. So he went to Med Express, and because he noticed that all of a sudden his skin was bubbling up in blisters, and he had these strange rashes. And when he showed up at the dock in a box, the docs in the box said, well, we'd like to treat you, Mr. Evans, but we can't treat you until we know what chemicals were in the frack water, because we might make bad matters worse, and we all swore these oaths that says first do no harm. So they reached out to Range Resources and said, we got one of your employees here, and he's got blisters all over him and rashes and stuff, and it's obviously it's a chemical exposure thing. Would you mind telling us what went into your frack fluid? And Range Resources said, well, hell no! That's proprietary information that might interfere with our God-given, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered ability to make a profit. So having had no luck at Med Express, Mr. Evans decided to go ahead and eat the bill and went on down to an emergency room in Wheeling, West Virginia. And said, look here, I got me some chemical burns on me. And can you help me? I'm worried now. And the docs in the ER at the hospital in Wheeling said, well, what kind of chemicals did you get burnt by? And he said, I am a truck driver for Range Resources, and it is perfectly harmless frack water. And they said, well, what kind of chemicals are in the frack water? And Mr. Evans said, I don't know. They won't tell me. And the doctors at the ER said, well, we don't want to make bad matters worse. We can't treat you unless we know what is in the frack fluid. Things were not going well for Mr. Evans, and they were going from bad to worse, as the suit papers note. In addition to skin ailments, he claimed he suffered nausea, shortness of breath, indigestion, vertigo, and headaches, as well as potentially permanent skin discoloration and permanent sensitivity to sunlight. Enter the spokescreep for Range Resources, Matt Pizzarella, who told the Observer Reporter newspaper, there are no secrets, especially when it comes to safety. Range's commitment to safety is shared by the nearly 900 men and women who work here, and it's ingrained in our culture. The single most important thing for us is making sure that every worker goes home safe at the end of their workday. Yeah, okay, fine, Matt Pizzarella. What was in the fracking fluid? Shut the f*** up! We're not going to tell you that. That's proprietary. If we told you that, we wouldn't be able to make a profit. But the nearly 900 men and women who work here and are ingrained in our culture that we are given a commitment to safety. They never did get around to telling them what was in the frack fluid. Might be because actually it wasn't as proprietary as they thought it was, because They got hailed into court in 2013, Range Resources did. And a judge up in Pennsylvania asked them what was in their fracking fluid. And the lawyer for Range Resources said, Your Honor, we don't know. I mean, we use this stuff by the hundreds of thousands and billions of gallons, but we don't know what's in it. We're pumping it up. We're pumping it down. We put it in ponds. We put it in trucks. We slosh it all over the goddamn ground. We ain't got the first frazzling clue what's in it, Your Honor. That's one of those moments when you wish you had one of them old-school 19th-century hanging judges who would then pour him a shot of it and say, well, let's find out. Have a drink, counselor. According to FrackTrack.org, there have been at least 210 different violations of different sorts for Range Resources. But fracking is perfectly safe. And it's going to lead to energy independence for everybody in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth today, now, forever. And frisbees and wheat checks. Yeah, as Devin notes, unfortunately, it was Mr. Evans' day to be the censor. You know, for fracking fluid sensitivity. And I tell you, that freedom, that's some freedom, that freedom. Mm-hmm. So here we are at 4 minutes before the hour. We'll knock off the filibobster for a little break. It being Tuesday, Titanic Tuesday, that means that we have the Green News Report via Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, which I always look forward to. Mm-hmm. And after that, well, your calls, if you feel so inclined. You know the number, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178, or on the Gizmo line, which we also call Maud, 304-663-4676, that's 304-663-HORN. Email, of course, is bobkincaid@gmail.com, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. On Twitter, at Bob Kincaid. Facebook, Bob Kincaid. If you would like to join our happy little closed group, The Horn, just look up The Horn on Facebook, and someone, one of the administrators, will happily let you in, as long as you're not a right-winger. Or somebody trying to hustle Ray-Ban sunglasses, or weightlifting stuff, or Mike Huckstaby's cinnamon-based diabetes cure. Yeah, Devin's got the idea. Can we rectally rehydrate some CEOs with this fracking shit? Now, don't be mean, Devin. Don't be mean. They're just innocent little plutocrats out there trying to make a lot of dollars. By the way, thanks going out to our buddy Greg down in Southern California, down San Diego way, for a kind contribution of some music that, well, it arrived in the mailbox today, and darned if it wasn't right there and useful right off the bat. Mm-hmm. This is listener-supported conversation radio. At present, none of that listener support has showed up since the beginning of the program. Sorry! Got to be mentioned. This is The Horn. Jump right in. The conversation is fine because it's conversation radio after all. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad. Oceans, rivers, lakes, and streams have all been touched by man. Poison floating out to
next Tuesday, May 12, 2015.
Environmental officials monitoring the Hudson River near the Indian Point nuclear power plant over the weekend.
Explosion, fire, and oil spill at nuclear plant just outside New York City. Here we go again. Shell gets approval to drill in the Arctic this summer. More new water restrictions amid California drought. GOP votes to slash NASA funding, plus...
If we have to ditch or to bail out, we will be a couple of thousands of miles from any island or coast where somebody can rescue us.
Solar-powered plane embarks on its most dangerous journey yet.
All of those dangerous journeys and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
We have chosen the most exciting application of these technologies.
I'll be the judge of that. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, to add fossil fuel insult to nuclear injury, we have both a fire and an oil leak at a nuclear plant in New York.
Yeah, it's a real double whammy. Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant, 25 miles north of New York City, remains offline after an electrical transformer caught fire and exploded at the facility on Saturday. City, state, and plant officials all say the public was never in any danger. All safety and emergency systems worked as designed, and the affected reactor remains shut down while the cause is investigated. However, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said the transformer accident also spilled at least 15,000 gallons of transformer fluids and special firefighting foam into the Hudson River.
Fantastic.
Now we're worried about that leaking into the Hudson River, and the plant obviously abuts the Hudson River, so that would be a problem.
Oh, do you think?
Governor Cuomo went on to say that the oily fluid and the fire-suppressing foam does not harm the environment, but in Monday's broadcast, Energy Director of PublicCitizen.org, Tyson Slocum, suggested otherwise.
This is not a benign introduction into the Hudson River. This is a polluting oil substance that has been introduced directly into the Hudson River.
A polluting oil substance. I love the way he put that because nobody really knows what it is, as usual. One other point that Tyson made during our conversation on broadcast, he said that the transformer was only about 300 feet away from the nuclear plant, despite the fact that officials were saying this was on the non-nuclear side of the plant. This fire, this explosion, was a football field away from two nuclear reactors.
Yes, it's hardly encouraging.
Neither is the fact that this nuclear plant is just 30 minutes from New York City and 20 million people in the New York metropolitan area.
Meanwhile, the Obama administration on Monday gave conditional approval to allow oil giant Shell to start drilling for oil and gas in the Arctic Ocean this summer. It's a huge victory for Shell and the rest of the petroleum industry.
If not for the wildlife in the Arctic, but press on.
And the approval comes in spite of Shell Oil's tragic comedy of errors in its first botched attempt in the Arctic in 2012, and in spite of the fact that the rig's anti-pollution gear has already failed a Coast Guard inspection just last month.
And Obama is allowing it anyway?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
For the first time in state history, California's State Water Board has ordered a mandatory 25% cut in urban water use statewide after voluntary cuts in residential use amounted to less than half of what California Governor Jerry Brown requested, and now the Water Board will fine cities for failing to meet those targets.
But just to check here, still no mandatory restrictions on either the agriculture or the oil industry.
That is correct.
Even though agriculture uses 80% of the water in California.
That is correct.
Wonderful.
Meanwhile, in the House of Representatives, Republicans have voted to gut funding for NASA's Earth Sciences Division. That's the division that studies how our planet and global weather systems actually function. Congressional Republicans have clearly stated that they don't like that NASA studies things like climate change, and they want to force NASA to shift its funding away from climate to focus on space travel instead.
Unbelievable. So that's never going to get past the president's desk without a veto, right?
It depends on what bill it's attached to. One can hope.
Maybe if Shell Oil asks nicely, Obama will approve it.
Finally, an update on the Solar Impulse 2, that 100% solar-powered airplane now making an historic first attempt to fly around the world. This week, weather permitting, the Solar Impulse 2 begins its longest and most dangerous leg, crossing the Pacific Ocean from China to Hawaii. That's 5 days and five nights of flying, powered only by sunlight. It is very dangerous, but for Swiss pilot Bertrand Piccard, the risk is worth it.
We want people to understand through our adventure that we can achieve impossible things with renewable energies and clean technologies.
Well, we hope they do achieve the impossible. For much more on that story and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download the Green News Report anytime via iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn. And you can and should find us and follow us on the Facebook and the Twitter at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
8 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday, the 12th day of May, 2015. I'm Bob Kincaid, and a note coming in, a query from Marty for the California contingent of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. Has anyone seen billboards from a group called Californians Against Lawsuit Abuse? This one whines about judges who make the injured rich as opposed to doing the right thing, which would be to bounce the injured out on their asses and tell them to quit picking on the poor, bedraggled little corporations. I don't live in California, and I can tell you everything you ever wanted to know about CALAs, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. See, they're fronted by corporations and the chambers of commerce who operate under the philosophy that any time a corporation gets sued, God kills a kitten. Okay? But on a deeper level, this proves the truth of my assertion. To wit, California and Oregon and Washington had best figure out, like, 3 days ago last Thursday, or 3 years ago, 3 decades ago last Thursday, that y'all are walking around with a great big damn bullseye on your backs now, because the Koch boys and Alec and all these other right-wing think tanks have successfully turned most of the rest of this country into a fascist wet dream of corporate personhood and religious liberty. You're next. All that money that got pumped into turning all these states all red, there's no real risk of them turning back to blue, and they're going to, and you're next. You're next. They're coming for you. Yeah, they really are. So just so you know. Oh, goodness me. What else? This here being Titanic Tuesday. What else do we have? I want to go back. I want to go back for a minute, because you don't want to leave a perfectly good Lindsey Graham story just floating around out there. The bell of smoldering chode has, as we know, is getting mighty, mighty close to deciding that he wants to be president and have all kinds of hot, sweaty, smelly men, like he told that one group in South Carolina, stand, just have an open door for him at the White House. But what makes this extra special, super duper good fun is the fact that Lindsey gave an interview to the USA Today about all this. He's a clear-eyed statesman of the old South, Lindsey is, and he knows what the problem is with the Republicans, what are already running for the presidency. He does. He really, really does. He wouldn't lie to you because he's a hero of Desert Storm. Yes, he is. But granted, he never had to, never had to leave the confines of Columbia, or possibly even the grounds of Smoldering Chode. But just the same, he is a Desert Storm veteran. Yes.
Page, Washington Bureau Chief of USA Today, and this is Capitol Download. We're on Capitol Hill in the offices of Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I was one of your first guests.
You were one of our first guests. We're glad to have you back. So, are you going to run for president?
98.6% sure I will. Stay tuned.
That seems close. What's your timetable? If you run, when will you announce?
Soon.
This month?
Soon.
And no shortage of candidates already.
That's right.
Why will you run?
Well, number one, there's a reason there are a lot of people running on our side, so we all think we can beat Hillary. The world is falling apart. I think I have a good background, experience, and judgment to reset what I think is radical Islam running wild. We're going to get hit hard if something doesn't change. I've been more right than wrong when it comes to foreign policy. 33 years in the Air Force. I retire here in a few weeks. I think I have the background and experience to be the best person in the entire field to be Commander-in-Chief. And when it comes to what's wrong with Washington, I think I've been the solution, not the problem.
So you say a lot of Republicans...
He's been the solution, not the problem? There we have it. Proof of alternate universes. And Lindsay lives in one. And yes, in answer to a question, if he does become president, that will make the White House Smoldering Chode North.
Mm-hmm.
He's running because they think Hillary Clinton can be beaten. Do you think she'll be easy to beat?
No. I think she's going to be a tough candidate.
Now wait. Okay, because all right, I got to talk about the video here. This is precious. When this woman from USA Today mentions Hillary Clinton, whoever edited this video together, when she says, can Hillary Clinton be beaten, they immediately put up a picture of Mrs. Clinton standing in front of one of those blue screens with some motto on the back, and of course the American flag there, but the camera begins to zoom in on the picture, and Mrs. Clinton is standing there with her mouth open, she's looking kind of shrieky, her eyes are kind of wide open, and she's got her hands up. And honest to God, she looks like that Star Trek salt monster. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. But she does, you know, with the little fingers out like she was about to put her hands on Bones' face and suck all the salt out of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a commentary on Mrs. Clinton's appearance. It is a commentary on the fact that somebody at USA Today, because they're doing a puff piece, there's a certain industry in what they're doing for Lindsey Graham is referred to as fluffing. Yes. They deliberately went and found the most unflattering photo of Mrs. Clinton that they possibly could. You know, salt monster.
Canada, but I think she does represent the third term of a failed presidency. And I think President Obama's foreign policy failure, she owns. I think domestically the economy is just kind of creeping along. And at the end of the day, I don't think she offers a whole lot new.
Hard to win a third term. On the other hand, do you think Republicans are underestimating Hillary Clinton?
To some extent. The only way we lose this election is to beat ourselves. And that's very possible. But we're getting...
And it's entirely possible that Lindsay would enjoy that attempt. Or at least watching it a little bit.
And creamed with non-white voters.
Let's talk.
No, we gotta. You don't get to just say that and sort of wander away among the hydrangeas. No, we gotta go back. We gotta go back. Go back, damn you. That was beautiful. That was a thing of absolute magnificence.
Talk about immigration, because on this topic, I think you are different from every other...
I don't want to talk about immigration. I want to get back to that line about what the problem is with the Republicans. All right, well, damn it, if we have to do it, we will. We'll just reload the little sucker. Because, like I said, Lindsay understands why it is that the Republicans have been losing presidential elections these last couple of times around. And why, in fact, they couldn't even get a majority of people to vote for their candidate back in 2000. And before that, they lost the two presidential elections before that. It was terrible. Just terrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. It's a beautiful thing when the goddess of irony causes Lindsey Graham to start speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Come on, Lindsey. I hate some of these damn media players. We'll get to the part where he. All right, let's go back and just catch it again.
As we all think we can beat Hillary. The world is falling apart. I think I have a good background, experience and judgment to reset what I think is radical Islam running wild. We're going to get hit hard if something doesn't change. I've been more right than wrong when it comes to foreign policy.
When he said, Obama's going to get us all killed by the Ebola ISIS. Hold me, John! Was that when he was more right than wrong? Just
3 years in the Air Force, checking. I retire here in a few weeks. I think I have the background and experience to be the best person in the entire field to be Commander-in-Chief. And when it comes to what's wrong with Washington, I think I've been the solution, not the problem.
So you say a lot of Republicans are running because they think Hillary Clinton can be beaten. Do you think she'll be easy to beat?
No. I think she's going to be a tough candidate, but I think she does represent the third term of a failed presidency. And I think President Obama's foreign policy failures she owns. I think domestically the economy is just kind of creeping along. And at the end of the day, I don't think...
Now, wait just a damn minute. I kind of missed that the first time through. The economy is just kind of creeping along. Well, why would that be, Lindsay? Would that be because perhaps we're only adding minimum wage jobs? And, of course, you oppose raising minimum wage. Or would it be, what was the economy doing back when we were down a few million jobs under dim leader, whom you thought was so manly? We were losing jobs, not gaining jobs, not even the crappy minimum wage jobs that we're gaining now. We were losing them too. What was the economy doing back then when you were voting for tax cuts for the rich, Lindsay? Throwing all them soirees down there at Smoldering Chode.
And she offers a whole lot new.
Hard to win a third term. On the other hand, do you think Republicans are underestimating Hillary Clinton?
Wait, third term? What, lady? Don't we have a constitutional amendment that prevents third terms? What did they? Did they just find somebody leaning over the bar and hey, go interview Lindsey Graham, will you? Jesus. Okay, I'm going to shut up. I want you to hear this. This is precious.
To some extent, the only way we lose this election is to beat ourselves, and that's very possible. But we're getting creamed with non-white voters.
Got that? Lindsay understands the Republican problem. We're getting creamed. Earlier, he said, we're going to get hit hard. And now he's saying, we're getting creamed by non-white voters. Just what part of Washington, D.C. do you have to go to, Lindsay, to get creamed by a non-white voter? Just wondering. Because Lindsay's going to reach out to the non-white voters. at which point the lady from the end of the bar decides, I think I better ask another stupid question.
On this topic, I think you are different from every other...
And I will continue to be.
...Republican presidential contender. You are the only one who advocates a path to citizenship.
Absolutely.
He advocates path to citizenship. Let's hear him describe the path. This is good, too. Listen, I suggest we, all of us for whom this sort of thing matters, as soon as the program's over, we all need to go out and sacrifice a rubber chicken to the goddess of irony.
Matter of fact, if I were President of the United States, I would veto any bill that did not have a pathway to citizenship, and let me tell you why. We're going to make sure that they go through a criminal background check, and criminals and felons and people who've been up to no good, they can't stay. But as to the rest, they have to learn the English language as a requirement to stay. They have to pay a fine because they did break the law. They have to get in the back of the line in terms of people who've been waiting patiently to become citizens. When they do all that, they'll have a 10-year bar before they can apply for a green card. The one thing I will not tolerate is allowing millions of people to live here the rest of their life without an opportunity to become part of us. So you'll have a long, hard path to citizenship. Whether you become a citizen will be up to you and how you perform. But I want to create that path because I don't like the idea of millions of people living in America for the rest of their lives being the hired help. That's not who we are.
Because we know who the hired help are. Mm-hmm. But that path to citizenship, it's going to be hard. Very hard. And you didn't miss the part about where the Republicans are beating themselves. Mm-hmm. Maybe with a little hickory switch. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, Lindsay. I'm so grateful for Lindsay. Only he can protect us from the Islamist head-lopping threat. I wonder how he'll feel about our dear head-lopping friends over there in Saudi Arabia when he gets to be president there at smoldering Chode North. Just don't know, do we? Now there's the Republican. It's no longer a Republican clown car so much as it's past Republican clown SUV. It's a full on Republican clown tour bus now, with oodles and oodles of fun to be had for young and old alike. Note rolling in from Michael in Madison. Subject line, beat ourselves. Oh, hey, Ron, we got another one violating your trademark, okay? But Michael's never done this before, so we'll cut him some slack. Bob. I swear he said the only way we lose is if we beat ourselves. Then he immediately fantasizes about getting creamed by non-whites. Talk about a fluff piece. This is masturbatory. From now until November, the Republican clown car is just going to be a gift that keeps on giving. And there they are, worshiping away in their little fundamentalist churches, never realizing that the people, the deity that they need to be paying attention to is most assuredly paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, in that vote in the United States Senate of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, forever, today, in that vote that they had today on the fast track for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, don't tell anybody, but Rand Paul and that thing on his head, libertarian ophthalmologist, and Texas Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz, they voted to give fast-track authority to the Kenyan Muslim usurper. They did. He's gotten to him. he's gotten to him with his Kenyan Muslim usurper Ray. And you know, the only thing known to be able to take down libertarian powers wielded by the thing on Rand Paul's head is a good old fashioned Kenyan usurper Muslim Ray. And they both voted. They voted like the rhinos that they are for that fast tracking. There you go, Michael and Madison noting, it's a clown convoy at 10-4, rubber duck. Note coming from Will in Chicago. Speaking of giving and giving you a chance for a good lead-in, I contributed. Still got a few more paychecks for this job before summer. Thank you. Thank you, Will, in Chicago. Thank you very kindly. You're the first and the only thus far. I'm sure Will would love to have some company. That takes us down to $180 to go for the evening. Thank you. The PayPal interface is over at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. So you may have noticed that... And we could save this for tomorrow, but again, we will have a whole passel by tomorrow. We will have a whole passel of new religion industry news. But like I said, I like to mention the good things when the good things happen. And granted, he's still making the great big howling mistakes, but infallibility notwithstanding, I don't think you get to be Pope without making a whole bunch of blunders. For instance, recently he announced that while he's in the United States, he's going to canonize a saint who helped participate in the genocide of the Native Americans in the Pacific coast of what is now the United States. Father Junipero Serra will be Saint Junipero Serra now. He was a Franciscan, and he helped spread disease, and he helped... And they certainly didn't ask the native populations, or at least in the case of the California tribes, what's left of them. But, you know, that's a blunder. That's culturally insensitive. It's very white colonialist. And well, the bishopric of Rome was not built in a day, I guess. But he's getting a lot more right than a lot of popes in recent memory. Opening the General Assembly of the Catholic charitable organization Caritas, Pope Frank said, "The planet has enough food for all, but it seems that there is a lack of willingness to share it with everyone. We must do what we can so that everyone has something to eat, but we must also remind the powerful of the earth that God will call them to judgment one day, and there it will be revealed if they really tried to provide food for him in every person, and if they did what they could to preserve the environment so that it could produce this food." And that's a shot across the bow in a big way. He also went on to say, the Pope did, that there's going to be a whole lot of answering done on Judgment Day. And he says he's got a pretty good idea of who's going to be doing the answering. Talking to... a group of children, I believe, Pope Frank explained to them that there are bad people in this world. You know, a lot of the children in this world probably don't have to look too far to find the bad people in this world. God knows if you're a newborn laying in a crib in Gaza, it's not much of a challenge at all. It's harder to find the good ones. But no, Pope Frank in addition to saying there's enough planet to feed everybody on it, he said in speaking to a group of children, this is serious. When he was talking to 7,000 children who attended an audience from a group called the Peace Factory, he said, this is serious. Some powerful people make their living with the production of arms. It's the industry of death. He's just, at this point in time, you know, to use a sporting analogy, I think we could say that His Holiness the Bishop of Rome has decided not to leave anything on the field. He knows he's an old fella. He knows he's got not a lot of time left on this earth, relatively speaking, and he's going to do what he can do. I sure hope he gets to reform the College of Cardinals and get rid of those nasty right-wingers that John Paul II and Benny the Rat put in. Everybody's still waiting for the papal encyclical on the ethical components of environmental issues like climate change. It will be an encyclical is kind of the same as a fatwa. And if he comes out and says that he's certainly given indications that way, that he's going to say that climate change is a dire problem and not doing anything about it is a sin, well, that's going to be a problem here in the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Yeah. Because, among other things, it's going to cause a problem because it's happening around the time of, and I can't help but think that he noticed this, it's coming around the time of a presidential election cycle in the United States when that entire clown convoy is hooting and hollering about there ain't no such thing as climate change. But there he is. Arms manufacturers are engaged in an industry of death. Now, he didn't say some. He said arms manufacturers. That means you, Grumman, Northrop. Means you, Boeing. That means you, Smith & Wesson, and Winchester, and Mossberg, and Beretta. That's y'all. And the corporatists who engaged in market speculation on the price of wheat so that people began to starve and leading up to the Arab Spring in Egypt, that uprising was about bread. It wasn't about high-flown political ideals. It was about bread and who could deliver the bread. That has been the central political, economic, and social question of the land of Kemet from time immemorial. When white European people were scrabbling around with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want, the Egyptians were a fully functioning civilization, and the central question was bread. And it remains such. And people starve around the world because we have Wall Street brokers and hedge fund managers who like to speculate in the price of the essential staff of life. You know, because money, because capitalism. We must do what we do so we can do what we can so that everyone has something to eat, but we must also remind the powerful of the earth that God will call them to judgment one day, and there it will be revealed if they really tried to provide food for him in every person, and if they did what they could to preserve the environment so that it could produce this food, as opposed to poisoning the environment so that it will no longer grow food, or creating drought through climate change. Yeah. Okay, so I mention all of that not because I'm anxious to get to prayer meeting Wednesday, but because lurking out there, undeclared thus far, but he's coming. Oh, he's on his way, is John Ellis Bush. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John Ellis Bush, known to people far and wide as Jeb, who wants to be president, who lots and lots and lots of Republicans don't want to be president because they'd rather have Ted Cruz or Reverend Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee and his infomercial cinnamon-based diabetes cure, or they'd rather have Marco Rubio, or they'd rather have Scott Walker, or they'd rather have Rand Paul and that thing on his head. They would rather have just about anybody, as long as it's not a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, or Hillary, than to have John Ellis Bush. John Bush, however, recently gave a commencement address at Jerry Falwell University. Now remember, and this is what's important, John Ellis Bush is not an evangelical fundamentalist by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, somehow or another, it's no accident, you have to go and bow and scrape and tug your forelock to the evangelical fundamentalist religion industry in this country if you want to be the Republican nominee for president. You have to go and make mouth noises about how they're the best Americans there are, yada, yada, yada. And so it was that John Ellis Bush went there to Lynchburg, Virginia, to Jerry Falwell's for-profit university to speechify some. And, of course, it has to be some religious speechifying, because that's a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, evangelical, fundamentalist university. Let's check in.
America needs today. When the rest of the world hardly knew of you, you were all of the world to your mom and dad. And by the way, you still are. So how about we show our gratitude to the parents and families of the class of 2015?
Woo! Give it up for the mamas and the daddies! Woo! Yeah!
I might add that.
By the way, I might add that they do their commencing training Christians for Christ since 1971, Libertas Universitas. They do their commencing there at their football stadium because, you know, Jesus needs a football team. And if Jesus needs a football team, he needs a football stadium.
If you've earned a Liberty degree while on active duty in the United States military, that is a special distinction. You're a credit to this university and to your country, and we thank you from the bottom of our heart.
That ain't some real high-class clapping like what you get when you're David Bossie's mother-in-law and you holler about how the Mexicans is rats and cockroaches. There's a lot more enthusiastic clapping there at the South Carolina Freedom Summit. I don't know if these Baptists are buying in.
Whether you're in the stadium or an online student receiving a degree as of today.
because you filled out a matchbook that said draw Spunky and sent it in.
Liberty University is in your past, but this school and the values that it stands for will always be a part of who you are.
So far, it's a bunch of boring bullshit platitudes that you can hear at any graduation speech. I guess he's at Liberty University because Bob Jones probably wouldn't let him in there. Or maybe it was Book. Maybe Rafael Eduardo Cruz had gotten there first.
And if there's any useful role I can perform here...
There isn't.
Maybe it's just to offer one last word of encouragement in the vocation you have freely taken up. It's the same one, of course, whatever degree you've earned, whatever work you'll do, however life unfolds.
So far, I've got to give him relatively high marks for not sounding like Dim Leader. I mean, he hasn't told anyone yet that fish and humans can coexist together in peace, or asked, is our children learning, or said, hey, watch me hit this golf shot, or said, huh, no weapons of mass destruction under here, or drop Barney on his head, or nothing. That's okay. Trust me, I'm going to make this interesting.
It's the greatest of all callings, to know, love, and serve the Lord, and it's yours by choice. You know how to choose a path. And
there wasn't any clapping. They're supposed to be clapping when he says to serve the Lord by choice. He wrote in there, wait for applause. He took a pause and everything, and nobody clapped. There's a reason for that, you know. You know that John Ellis Bush, you know that he is a papist, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody sitting in there in that stadium knew it, too. And it's not just that he's a papist. Sometimes you can't help being a papist. You're born to a papist family, and you grow up a little papist, and they take and you do the papist things in their Catholic churches, and it can't be helped. You know, someday maybe somebody will witness to them, and they'll stop worshiping Mary, and have a come to Jesus moment. But it can't be helped. But John Ellis Bush, is not like that. Jebby was born into a fine, old, New England, waspy, Protestant family. But then he fell afoul of sin, you see. And he went down, and one evening, the devil appears in many guises. Sometimes the devil appears in the form of a beautiful Mexican woman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to John Wilkes Bush. I mean, John, why do I keep saying that? John Ellis Bush. He went down there and he met one of them wily Mexican temptresses. And she used her feminine Mexican wiles on him and she lured him into her bed. And they was about to get it on and have sexy time, and she said, John Ellis Bush, no, not unless you too are a papist, for I am a papist. And so John Ellis Bush, you see, he had no real values, because he cast off his New England Protestantism as though it were a dirty T-shirt, and he had spent a hard day of working and getting all sweaty and such, and he just cast it aside and said, no longer will I be a Protestant. I will bow my knee to Rome and become a papist like you, for you, honey, are one hot tamale. Mm-hmm. And back in New England, there was a disturbance in the force. And Mother Bush, Babs, she could feel it, and she knew that her son had given up his immortal soul for a woman, a Mexican woman, and then he became a full on Romanist, and he learned to speak the Mexican. And they had children, and you could see the anguish in Ma Bush's eyes back in the GOP convention of 1988 when she pointed proudly toward her son Georgie and said, "That's my son George, and there's that woman he married. What, Laura? Yeah, Laura. And over there are his precious two little twin daughters. So yeah, one of them's named after me." Mm-hmm. And then she pointed the other way and said, "That over there is my son Jeb, and that's that woman he married. And that's his children. We call them the little brown ones." You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. On national TV, in the coverage of the 1988 Republican National Convention, Babs Bush, Mother Bush, who potty trained her children at gunpoint, referred to her grandchildren by her younger son, John Ellis, referred to her children as the little brown ones. And everybody's sitting there in that in the Jesus Memorial Stadium of Libertas Universitas, they know he's a papist. They know he's a Mary worshiper. They know, and they're not at all comfortable about it.
Stay on it. That's useful knowledge when life can present more choices than we sometimes know what to do with. Especially if you're young and trying to live out the message of the Gospels. The world will never run short of competing offers. You've heard all of them. You're not impressed. And that wisdom alone can carry you a long way. The faith that brought you here, the faith that matured here, doesn't give every answer to every question. Nor, of course, does it promise anyone a life spared from doubt or difficulty. But in the way of life's advantages, each one of you has the best there is.
Man, if this is an indication of his stump speeches, there are going to be some sleepy Republicans in Iowa and South Carolina and New Hampshire. But as the line goes, skip a bit, brother.
Without the Christian influence.
Oh, wait, back up. See, he's trying to establish his evangelical bona fides, but he doesn't have any.
Foreign spirit, an awful lot of people in our time, including a few who command armies, still haven't gotten the news. Violence and fear and domination are their rules to live by, as many persecuted Christians in our time can attest. And
huh? We're back to the Christian persecution from Marsha at the beginning of the program. Go on.
No matter what faith is professed by cruel men, if we could imprint just a few lines of truth on their...
Did he just imply that America's generals are cruel men? Wait a minute. Why isn't he wearing an American flag pin on his graduate and commencement address and gown? I want to know.
Hearts. Surely we would start with the words of the carpenter born in Bethlehem. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers.
I wonder if he's had a conversation with his brother about that whole blessed are the peacemakers. That's what we were doing. We were making peace in the Middle East, you see, because Saddam tried to kill our daddy.
It's a voice like no other, whether it's captured on scrolls and paper or in bits of data. Seen in the examples of Francis the Saint or Francis the Pope. Affirmed by the witness of...
Don't do that at Libertas Universitas, John Ellis Bush! He mentioned the Pope? Yeah, because see, a little bit ago I got an email in from Steve, who, by the way, in an effort to see us reach our fundraising goal for the evening, has issued a $25 challenge. He will match the next $25 that come in so that we will then be at $75 out of the 120 out of the 200 we need to raise for the evening. So that's on the table. Steve noted by email, Jeb is Catholic. Yeah, he most assuredly is. And don't think that isn't a grave concern to all of the evangelical fundamentalists. Mm-hmm.
ancient martyrs, or by the witness of martyrs dying in his name today. No place where the message reaches, no heart that it touches, is ever the same again. And across our own civilization, what a radically different history would tell without it. Consider a whole alternative universe of power without restraint, conflict without reconciliation, oppression without deliverance.
Isn't that the story of the last 2,000 years? Just checking. Skip a bit, brother.
Men and women of your generation are striving to be protectors of creation instead of just users, good shepherds instead of just hirelings, and that moral vision can make all the difference.
Does he even know who he's talking to? The Southern Baptist Convention is clear in its dominion, in its dominionist goals of blast baby blast and drill baby drill and mine baby mine and frack baby frack. He's not talking to any good stewards of creation. And with every word coming out of his mouth, he makes that graduation audience a little bit more twitchy. Suddenly, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, you know, the anointed future king of America, son of Raphael the First, don't look so bad anymore. Suddenly, can you just work with me? Imagine if they had invited Pastor Governor Brother Mike Huckstaby to deliver this commencement address. He would have been jumping up and down and hopping around the stage and hollering and sanctifying and glorifying and amen. And the Gradutamacates of Libertai Universita would have been practically handling strychnine and swallowing snakes and rolling on tongues and speaking in floors. I wonder if this commencement address wasn't delivered more for so-called moderate Democrats who don't have sense enough not to vote for another damn Bush than it was for, because he's trying to come across as a sane moderate. Somebody has told John Ellis Bush that there's still a moderate wing of the Republican Party that are dying to hear a moderated message. And so he's up there trying to pretend to be a moderate. Talking about creation and such like. Please.
You also understand that some moral standards are universal. They do not bend under the weight of cultural differences or elite opinion.
I liked it better when they were bendling.
Wherever there's a child waiting to be born, we say choose life, and we say it with love.
Bullshitty, said the robin, and he turned and walked away. They don't say choose life. They say you must have that baby in the name of Jesus. Choose life, my left hind. They advocate for a woman to have no choice in pregnancy. Editorial note, it was John Ellis Bush's granddaddy Prescott, who was an early funder of Planned Parenthood in Connecticut. Probably another reason that the evangelical fundamentalists, don't trust anyway. Yeah, see, they don't believe him worth a damn because hell's bells. I've heard better clapping among environmentalists at a pro coal rally. Oh, the camera found a black graduate of Libertai Universitai. How about that?
Wherever women and girls in other countries are brutally exploited or treated as possessions without rights and dignity.
Yeah, as long as they're in other countries. Notice the caveat there. Not here. Because, see, it's pretty brutal exploitation when you take away a woman's right to choose. Or you want to.
We Christians see that arrogance for what it is. Wherever Jews are subjected to the oldest bigotry, we reject that sin against our brothers and sisters, and we defend them.
No, they rewrote in, pause for applause. Listen.
And we say it with love.
Yeah, tepid. Well, nobody believes you.
Wherever women and girls in other countries are brutally exploited or treated as possessions without rights and dignity, we Christians see that arrogance for what it is. Wherever Jews are subjected to the oldest bigotry, we reject that sin against our brothers and sisters, and we defend them.
Pause. Yeah, they're late with the...
In all these causes and others, your generation is fully engaged, acting by the light of conscience. If any spirit is to be gladly welcome in a free society, you think that would be one. At least the founding generation thought so when they wrote the First Amendment. But of course, others have their own fashionable ideas and opinions, which these days can be a religion all by themselves. And it's got to be a problem for Christians and their right of conscience.
Wait a minute. Oh, we're up the right of conscience. This is the pizza parlor part. Their right of conscience. The right of conscience for an ignorant woman at a Walmart to refuse to fill a prescription for a woman who's had a drug prescribed because she's had a miscarriage. You know, that Christian conscience. Right? Yeah. I can't help thinking that either somebody was slow on the applause light button or wasn't putting applause up on the Jumbotron, or this just isn't selling. I mean, there's nobody leaning forward in their seats in the audience when they cut to a shot of the audience. Everybody just looks bored and like they're waiting to get out of there so they can hurry up and start making monumental student loan payments for a private Christ-centered education. But like I said, I told you I'd bring this full circle, and I will. Because, see, I mentioned all that stuff from Pope Frank, because that's going to be a problem for all of these Choose Life Catholic candidates out there. Remember 2004 when the Catholics were all hollering about how John Kerry shouldn't be allowed to take communion because he supported a woman's right to mind her own business while he minded his? Well, there's a pope in the See of St. Peter now who says that it is a sin to trash the planet. That it is a sin to care more about money than about God's little humans. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Jebby is going to go conveniently deaf when that encyclical comes out about not effing the planet to pieces. Yeah? Yeah. Because, see, either the Pope is the head of the church, or he's not. And I have a feeling we're going to find out from John Ellis Bush, that his Catholicism is going to get sort of cafeteria-esque rather rapidly. Oh, it's going to be fun. It is going to be all kinds of fun between now and November 2016. One line on hold if you want to stay there. We're going to take a quick break. And the other line open, 304-663-4676. That's the line that's open, 304-663-HORN. Jump right in if you wish. We are trying to get to, well, we've got $180 to go to reach our goal. There's a $25 matching challenge on the table from our buddy Steve in New York City as we go about the work of keeping this little bitty radio network on the air. Your help, well, it's not just appreciated, it's critical. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What you gonna do? stranger in the land where I was born, and I live just like that love, and I'm always on the run. And though you may be stronger now, my time will come around.
With Jetty's environmental pablum, I thought that might work nicely. Thanks again very kindly to Greg for the nice infusion of tunage. Quicksilver Messenger Service, what about me? When I heard that earlier today, I was trying to think back to the first time I heard Quicksilver Messenger Service. I was 20 years old on an archaeological dig in southwest Tennessee. Go figure. By the way, Steve's challenge has been anonymously met, so that means we have only $125 more dollars to go for this evening's fundraising, and hopefully that will be met before programs end about 52 minutes from now. Let's run over to the Skype line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello? Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, sorry. How are you on speaker? It's Lee in Austin. Hi.
Hey, what's happening, Lee?
Oh, let me take you off speaker. The other thing.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I suck with technology.
Long time no talk to.
Yeah, it's been about 12 hours, right?
Yeah.
I can't thank the I have no idea what you guys are talking about tonight. Believe me, it was a huge monumental effort to. Find that my computer is like the equivalent to like a car I used to have. I mean, it's just, you know, you get to 55 miles an hour, it's going good. You turn on the AC, and it's like somebody just kicks the motor
and it throws a rod, right?
Yeah. So, but I left the the last time I had a computer, I had a nice little cool little $800 computer, you know, a Sony kind of Vio thing that eventually died on me. You know, and now I've got a Windows 8 machine that probably costs $200. I have no idea how to work. You know, bring back 7. But I as best I can see, I wasn't able to drop anything in the actual horn folder, but I dropped the entire record, and Charlie was so grateful for you guys playing that stuff. And I was like, can I give him the old album? He goes, give him the new album. I said, it's not out yet. He goes, I don't care. You know.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, just to provide a little clarification, what I will do, we played a clip the other night from the band in which you're playing now, Charlie Pearson, Choctaw Wildfire. And
although he'll tell you it's Choctaw Wildfire.
Okay.
You know, it's just, you know, branding, but yeah. I mean, he usually starts the show going, hey, we're Choctaw Wildfire. Yeah, and yeah, we're ripping off, Young, most certainly. But it's just, you know, we're Crazy Horse, but, you know, there's no Choctaw without Charlie, that's for sure.
Right, and you put that in my Dropbox, and what I will do is I'll download it, and then I'll re-upload it to the Horn Dropbox. And do I understand correctly that you are offering both of these albums free via the Horn Dropbox to anybody who wants it?
Yeah, we figured we'd give you guys some bootstraps to actually pull us up by.
Well, here's how it works. If you're not already subscribed to the Horn Dropbox, then what you need to do is email me a request, and I in turn will send you access to the Dropbox, and you can have your own copy. Just, you know, click, you know, right click and copy or whatever you do on a Mac, and paste it into your machine, and bang, you're going to have two. Wow, that blows my mind. Two free albums.
Well, here's what I sent you, and here's where like I said, I suck at technology, and apparently things change between my computer dying and Windows 8 coming out or whatever. Like I said, it was a very long process, but I know, and at one point they told me I was out of space so I couldn't upload it. So I wound up just inviting you to where, like, the thing was already there. And I think that's a mastered copy already, so, which is great. The dude that mastered the record did, like, Nirvana's Nevermind and like, I think most of the White Stripes and then a bunch of B-Seeds. You know, so this guy, this Howie Weinstein, maybe, but he's out in LA. I mean, mastering is a way bigger, different deal. My ears already suck, so I'm amazed by people.
Okay, so I'm looking at four files here. I just need to be clear. I'm looking at four files here, set one and set two. They're in both.
Oh, that's the live record that we just recorded like 2 weeks ago.
Right. Okay.
That's not even coming out till September. But yeah, throw that shit around. Absolutely. And sorry, that's got like what? Set one, set two, and it's either Wave or MP3.
Right. And I'm just gonna put the MP3 up.
I think that's a little muddy and that probably didn't do us justice. But I mean, I thought I invited you to another one and I'll keep looking at it and I'll shoot you text, while we're in the actual, just getting, like I said, this machine. I just spent the last hour installing Java. So, I suck at this, like I said. But, so I couldn't even get into the horn room initially. And I don't know what Cafe Press is, but, you know, we had a fight and yada, yada. But there should be something that says nowhere on it that I invited you to.
That's just the latest one that came in. I'll put that in short order.
That's the new record. Nowhere is the name of the new record, and that's the one that drops at the end of this month.
Okay.
Take it. It's really good. I wanted to call it Happy, ironically so, because it's really, really bleak. Don't let the music fool you. You might want to listen to the words. You just go, oh God, I'm depressed. You know. but it's a good record, and I think it's gonna kind of. Like I said, we're getting traction, which is very cool. And by the way, like I said, hi to all the horn listeners. I realize just how tedious this is, and I forget that this is like a 2,600 way conversation, not just two. I just, you know, I can't see them blowing up my computer right now, so I don't know if anybody's responding or if they all went to sleep. I probably just
no. No, people are listening. Please believe me.
You were close to the goal before everybody nodded off.
No. We're still a rock solid $125 away, but still.
All right. I want to make sure that works too. But yeah, Charlie was so delighted, you know, and I played him like the clip, you know, and I played the tuba player. Cause Bob Cullen's not in the band anymore. We now have a tuba player instead of an upright that just kicks major ass. But they were just so happy. Like, of course we're going to give it crap away. You know, I mean, that's how you get boots on the ground. I mean, everything's kind of changed since, you know. I mean, yeah, you guys got to come see us in person or whatever if you want to buy some vinyl.
Yeah, absolutely. Vinyl is cool.
Time machine. But I mean, because that's going on. But that's, vinyl's like caught on again, and it's great. I mean, it really is, because As a friend of mine said, he goes, I've been recording like major records and my favorite thing of all time is what, you know, Brian did on, or what George did on, the whole, you know, the sound guy from, God damn it. Sorry. I'm a little bit excited and just wound down, but George, that recorded all the Beatles stuff.
Martin,
thank you. But like Sergeant Pepper's was done on a 4-track and then folded down over and over and over again, you know, to get all those things in, you know. So this guy told me, he goes, I've been recording based on what George Martin did, these amazing records, and then people like compress it down and listen to it on these tiny little shitty $300 headphones, you know, and vinyl is so much warmer, you know, and well. Look, I'm glad that I can carry the entire Library of Congress and my phone to listen to while I ride the bus. But there's something very warm to be said about vinyl.
Oh, absolutely. Well, because our ears are analog and not digital, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. My eyes, too, which is why I'm not bothered buying one of those new confangled flat screens. It's HD. I'm like, well, I still got analog eyes. I can't see dick, you know, so. But, and not to, like, actually try and turn this back and, like, discuss with the Horn audience, but I don't know what the big thing of the day is. I've missed yesterday's thing. We're talking.
Hey, man, you've been gone a while, but it's conversation radio. The big thing of the day is the big thing to you.
Well, big thing, well, yeah. I am the ruler on planet.
Bring it.
But no, I just meant, like, please tell me we're talking about Bernie and the Republicans are probably still trying to repeal Obamacare. The last time I was on the show, by the way, I hadn't gotten hooked up with the VA. So I've got me some of that sweet, sweet Obamacare, you know. And yet a bunch of my fellow vets, they're apparently Fox watchers because I had to go to the VA today. And they had a guy sitting out there and it said, boycott the VA. And I'm like, that son of a bitch just walked in and probably got a checkup. You know, I mean, but it's like, you know, what's that great 80s rom-com when Nose met Spike? Oh, sorry, Harry met Sally. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just like, really, you're right outside your major.
Well, I don't know if you realize this or not, Lee, but there's a story that's making the rounds on the interweb tubes today of this poor, poor human being. And I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, I think the story is pathetic. You've got a guy in South Carolina, Stan, and, of course, in South Carolina, Stan, you can't have the Medicaid expansion, you know, just like you can't in Texas, Stan, because it would lead to Sharia communism.
I hadn't heard that too.
And so this poor soul in South Carolina, Stan, his name is Luis Lang. And late this past February, he found out that he'd had a series of mini-strokes.
TIAs.
And the result of the mini-strokes was that the residual effect was that he had bleeding in his eyes. And along the way, he also developed diabetes, which left him with a partially detached retina. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's 49 years old. He is, of course, a rock-ribbed Republican. He's self-employed. He's a handyman. And he goes around maintaining foreclosed properties for banks and the federal government.
Yes.
And he, so his health got really, really bad. And his... he stopped being able to work this past December. And that meant that he's facing foreclosure from his $300,000 home. Maintaining foreclosed homes for banks and the federal government apparently pays nicely.
You've always talked about the God of Irony. That's what I worship too. But
So it all goes down, and he applies for, because even though they couldn't stop the Sharia Medicaid, even though they stopped the Sharia Communist Medicaid in South Carolina, they weren't able to stop the Kenyan Muslim for-profit subsidies. So he applied for the subsidies and found out he'd applied too late. And even so, there are remedies for that. So then he finds out that he makes too little money now that he ain't working at all to be able to afford the for-profit insurance that was brought on by the Kenyan Muslim usurper.
Don't you just wish? I mean, my kid brother is down in South Carolina right now. He just moved there. But... I don't, I've texted this to you, and this is my strategy for the Bernie thing. And I mean, here's one of my questions, and I'm sorry I just took it away from that, but it kind of leads back to it. But my parents, who as we have talked in the past, meaning 5 years ago, but they're still as far to the right as they ever were, you know.
Naturally.
And they're Hillary haters, and I mean, and like I said, and never mind what. And I don't know how things are in Tunisia, but I mean, with the Arab Spring thing, we know how Egypt wound up being. But the social media thing is so important, and I mean, and that's what I'm inviting my Facebook friends, you know, air quotes. But I mean, and telling my parents, I'm just like, you hate Hillary? I'm not really that down with her either. Why don't you guys watch her get her ass kicked? But I mean, it's Appalachia State taking on Michigan, home opener.
Because upsets do happen. Yeah, upsets do happen.
Yeah, and he's never gotten off point. I read a thing where they said, dude, back when he was the mayor, he was still talking about inequality. You know, 4 decades ago.
Just so you'll know who knew Bernie back when he was mayor?
No.
The Horn's very own boss man, Wayne.
Get out.
Yeah. Really.
How are his fingers doing? Did he get bit by a spider recently getting into the mailbox? Is that right?
Well, there's been a couple of days they've about chewed the spiders right off his hands. Spider-proof gloves right off his hands.
I'm just kind of a jackhole. I apologize.
No. That's okay.
To talk about the Arab Spring, all that stuff. I mean, I hate it when Malloy, somebody wrote in and used, Wellstone as a verb, and I don't even want to contemplate that kind of nonsense right now. I can't. You know what I mean?
I hope Bernie will stay off of small aircraft. I think anytime you're dealing with Republicans, that's probably a good idea.
Oh, yeah. And I would stay away from other senators. I mean, I'm reminded of the Gracchi brothers, you know, and table legs, you know. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the hell of a populist candidate, you know, and I'm really excited about that. I think it's going to show up in our music. I mean, you know, Charlie at one point, the leader of the band, you know, we would sing like This Old House by Neil Young. You know, the businessman don't know what that means. You know, this old house of ours is built on dreams, you know, that kind of thing. And tomorrow morning, the man from the bank's going to come and take it all away, you know, kind of thing. And he's got that message. Oh, my God. And so I was like, Charlie, don't even talk left or right. Just talk about banksters, you know, because we're about to go to Kentucky, and we're not going to win them over politically, but we can talk about how badly we've been screwed, and they're going to be like, yeah. You know, it's like... Yeah, so I mean, we just got. I don't. So to go back to the guy in South Carolina, that's what I hope. It's just like I can get him, because he's a Hillary hater, to watch the thing, and then maybe the guy has this road to Damascus moment. You know, was not just
well. Sadly, no.
And then he's reclaiming homes to hand back to the poor. I have no idea.
No, sadly, you know? that hasn't happened. His wife, Mary Lang, says, "My husband should be at the front of the line, because he doesn't work and because he has medical issues. We call it the Not Fair Health Care Act." Never realizing, of course, that if South Carolina Stan and their governor, Nimrata Haley, had accepted the free freaking money from the evil federal government, that he would have the health care that he needs because of the Medicaid expansion. And there would be a river, a boiling, frothing, whitewater torrent of money flowing into the healthcare system down there in South Carolina, Stan, but then they wouldn't be good Confederates anymore.
Is there saying, well, there's not a few moron.
So
you realize I'm from the South, and you and I share that same thing about the, you know, if they had just stretched their necks as soon as they would, you know, we wouldn't be talking about the South arise again, you know. If they had treated the South the same way they treated, I don't know, the high command of the Japanese admiralty.
Well, let me add this. Down there in Fort Mill, South Carolina, Stan, he does have himself a GoFundMe campaign. Now, when they put together a crowdfunding campaign for that good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, fundamentalist, evangelical pizza parlor that swore that never would they deliver pizzas to a Homer sectional wedding reception. Well, they raised $800,000. Meanwhile, this poor fella, who, you know, hates him some Obama because he's a liberal Kenyan Muslim socialist and it's the Not Fair Health Care Act, he's got him a GoFundMe campaign that's been going on for 24 days, and the good God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding evangelical fundamentalists have thus far ponied up all of $3,545 of the $30,000 he's trying to raise to save his sight in the for-profit health care system. He says, Lee, on Tuesday, May 5th, I went to the ophthalmologist. Hopefully he didn't go to Rand Paul.
Rand Paul?
I never go to a libertarian ophthalmologist. You don't have any money? You need to go blind. The news that he gave me was worse than we thought. I have partially detached retinals in my left eye. This will require eye surgery to reattach, and he found that my diabetic retinopathy in both eyes was so far advanced that I will need laser surgery in order to try to correct it. Now, between both procedures, I'm looking at anywhere, that's A-N-Y-W-A-R-E, from $18,000 to $30,000. I have reached out to almost every organization out there, and I am either too old, over 10 years old, or too young, under 65, for them to help. That is why I am reaching out for help. My eyesight is getting worse day by day, and if I don't get the surgeries done, I will go blind. So understand that what he's talking about, being too old or too young, that means he doesn't fall within Medicaid. Now, see,
wait.
Because, see, if the Medicaid expansion had gone through in South Carolina, there wouldn't be a question. He would be covered. He would be getting the surgeries he needs right now. But nobody can explain this to that guy because Obama's a Kenyan Muslim socialist, you slurper.
Yeah, I would just get one of his white relatives to tell him that there's better health care in Canada and then let the prick sneak across the border. I don't know. I mean, because, you know, he's not going to take it anywhere south of the border because it's still from Obama. But so I went, oh, dude, there's good surgery in Canada and Costa Rica. So to go back to, and by the way, you were talking, and then you said it a second time as I was writing down, I am stealing fundamentalists. Is that your word?
Well, you have to, it's evangelical fundamentalist, Lee.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about just the word fundamentalist as far as like, I mean, I knew evangelical. Fundamentalist was new, and Sharia communism was new, because I didn't realize that Marx and Engels, if it actually made its way to, like, Jerusalem, you know, on the trade routes.
Mecca.
Well, I mean, Jerusalem was always in the center of the trade routes. Isn't that why it's the hot spot to begin with? If I read that in the past?
Well, yeah.
But whoever was controlling, therefore, the age of exploration, build a boat, you know, kind of deal. I mean, at least that was my impression on what I'd read. And you are much more learned than I am, sir. To go back to the album real quick, by the way, like I said, everybody, the new one, most certainly, for sure, it's all yours. The one that I sent you that's the live record, I think I sent that to you in a shared thing, and you're welcome to figure out how to download it or whatever, but that's kind of what I don't want. I mean, yeah, they can listen to it by all means, but that's kind of what I don't want throwing out there right now. And I'll find the old record that's got Deep Water Down, and I'll put that out there. I mean, like I said, you can play anything you want to off the set, Capture, Isolate, but I mean, that's for whatever reason, you know, he didn't give me the go-to on that one, you know, and but he was like, yeah, the brand new one, but you know, this other one is like super, super new, you know, and meanwhile, we're going to be like, what?
Okay, you and I, this is probably a little too much for me to process on the fly, but I've downloaded them all. They're not out there available yet. You and I'll talk and we'll get it squared away.
But no, I mean, Nowhere is for everybody. And like I said, the other one I think is just, I wanted you to be able to hear this live so that we record it. That way you get, a little dose of, what did I tell you this morning? 2-time Grammy winner, Jeffrey Barnes. Is that any good?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
kind of thing.
Yeah.
I thought the closest I was ever going to get to the Grammys was they paid for my first rehab. Yeah. Now I'm hanging out with a dude that's got two of them.
Yeah, and you're not just hanging out with a Grammy guy. You're hanging out with a Grammy tuba player.
Oh, no, that's not the tuba player.
Oh, no?
No, that's the guy that plays all the woodwinds.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, no, I mean, so yeah, the tuba player, on the other hand, like I said, he did cruise ships, and like I said, his whole idea of a good time is he transcribes things. I mean, I'll sit there and mention some theme song from whatever, I don't care if it's Three's Company, and all of a sudden he'll show up, you know, at the gig the next time, and he's like, hey, check this out, and it's like, I'm like, what is this, staff paper? And I'm like, and he's like, yep, and I'm like, what is this? He goes, and I'm looking at it, also, and it's all in penciling, but it's completely written out. It's completely crazy. So there's Three's Company, or at one point I see Taxi. I'm like, Taxi? He goes, yeah, you mentioned the conversation last week. I just thought it'd be cool. You know? So he did show up today with WKRP in Cincinnati. I'm like, I can't wait to play that shit. And so, yeah, it's about content recreation, I guess.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. I mean, just like I said, the last time I talked to you, I didn't understand what Instagram was. I still don't understand Twitter. But I'm kind of figuring out the hashtag. Somebody told me it's just like laying a trot line. You're just trying to catch something bigger every chance you get.
Yeah, that works.
So don't get me wrong. I mean, no offense to any of the listeners, but, hashtag pound sign Choctaw Wildfire is going to be hit right behind hashtag pound sign horn. I just like saying pound sign because it used to be that before everybody said hashtag. But I'll make sure I start tagging you guys and you guys can kind of follow, and I'll call you from the road. Like I said, we've got great Memphis shows coming up, and I kid you not, I'm obsessed now with getting up to West Virginia because Charlie will be all over the coal thing. You know? And he really will. He's completely about that. Like you guys heard Deepwater Down, and he's been pissed about the Gulf, I guess, since it went down. But he's from Chicago. Chicago people kind of have this weird angered bottle thing inside anyway. And I didn't know what that was. They were hanging on Sundays, and it's a Bears fan thing is all it is.
Yes. I thought it was a Cubs fan thing.
No, because then there's that weird north-south divide, you know what I mean, which I don't understand so much. You know,
yeah, the Sox, right, and
the Polo Grounds and the Ivy. but no, the Bears thing, no, oh, God, they're hysterical. They're so angry, they're so sarcastic, they're very bitter, and they are loyal as hell. They're not fair weather. And so I don't know if that has something to do with the hard winters and everything else that they get, you know. He was all excited this last weekend. I'm droning on, but yeah. We took Mother's Day off, and he goes, I'm going to go camping on the beach with my kids. And he came back, he goes, it was miserable. I was like, why would you think it was a good idea? Just a day at the beach. You wind up with sand places where sand shouldn't be. You're going to camp in it? Really? But all right, that's a lighter note-ish, and I should let you go. I just realized I've probably taken 20 or 30 minutes, and I apologize because you guys got way more important things to talk about, but I love you guys dearly, and
I'm just tickled. I'm tickled pink to hear from you.
Well, and like I said, I won't abuse it. I will try and stay away from it.
If people want to check online to see if maybe you guys might be playing a gig near them anytime soon, is there a website?
No, it's ChoctawWildfire.com. Look at you, nice segue, sir. Or I don't know what they call it in the biz, but yeah, it's totally, it's ChoctawWildfire.com. It's all one word. Those two W's back to back look a little wacky when you're typing it. Don't let your autocorrect, you know, throw you off track or whatever.
Right.
And so we are updating that. They can, sign up on the mailing list. We're not spamming anybody. In fact, we're kind of sending this new record out to people. One song at a time, like weird alternate cuts or whatever, to where it's like they still get the album in order, but it's like, oh, okay, well, here's a live thing. You know, and I think we only give like a monthly update as far as like where we're playing. So you're not getting spammed, I promise you. You know, we just want to give you guys what, love and stickers.
Yeah, cool.
Who doesn't want
links to merch? Love? Right.
You know, and like I said, come see us and buy merch then. I mean, that's really the best way, you know. you might as well give this thing out, because that's how you actually sell tickets, you know, and that's how it comes back. Yeah, you know? I mean, because this stuff, look, somebody's going to go put this up on BitTorrent or whatever. We were planning for that. So, you know, we hope they do, you know. It's like the guy from HBO saying, I hope everybody is downloading Game of Thrones. We're not here for, you know, subscriptions. We're here for fans for life kind of thing, you know. And so, well, and that was really grandiose and gaudy of me. I'm sorry, but,
not at all.
G-A-U-D-Y, not G-O-T-T-I, like I'm a pulling supply guy and, well,
No, we got it.
Anyhow. Not to be all dapper and dandy on you. I mean, that's real. I mean, we're just, you know, we just want butts and seats and people to actually dig the music. And I mean, I think there's a message in it, you know, and I'll be completely frank with you. I was done when I met Charlie. I was just like, I'm ready to quit. I mean, I couldn't wait to throw my drums in the river. I was just like, if I have to play Amarillo by Morning one more friggin' time, you know, or you
Amarillo
know,
by Morning, up from standing phone.
But if I have to do one more, I don't know, Road Goes On Forever thing at a frat boy party, I'm going to kill myself, you know, Charlie's stuff had a message and it was way different than what I was used to playing, and it was a challenge, and I have fun.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
That's really all that matters.
Well, no, that was obvious in the video, Lee. I mean, you were grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush in that one video.
At one point I talked about, like, I was like, Charlie, I don't know if I want to keep playing. He's like, you're dead without me. I was like, no, I don't mean it that way. But they were talking about these pictures, all these pictures they take of us. And I'm constantly frowning, right? I mean, just, you know, there's like photo shoots. Like, oh, I'm trying. I'm really trying, but smiling makes my goddamn face hurt. And then, but there's not a photo of me playing live where I'm not cracking up or grinning. It's the only time I smile is when I play.
Because you're having fun now.
I mean, I don't mean that means that I'm a savage beast and this is what soothes me, you know, kind of thing. But I'm just saying, yeah, you're right. I'm having a good time, and I'm actually applying my craft that, I don't know, sometime after I checked out of the horn, I was ready to throw my drums in the goddamn river. You know, I just didn't care, you know, and so... But to tie it all back up with a nice Bernie bow. But I mean, yeah, we've got a message, and there's somebody out there that we can sit there and try and help push his message too.
Well, it's like Mr. Gibson said the other night, Lee. For a change, it's nice. Yeah. He said, you know, for a change, it's nice because I Want a Pony is finally on the damn ballot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I want a unicorn with wings. I'm going to call him Buttercup and whatever. But
and right, and helium-filled pants. You're damn right.
Yes. Well, look, Bob, thank you so much. And like I said, let's. I don't know how we do it. I mean, yeah, I would love you guys to come see Choctaw, but I promise you,
if you get within anything I can throw a rock at, I'm there.
No. Like I said, my family has got that Western Kentucky thing. There's a festival, so I've got a little bit of nepotism that I am absolutely going to use because for the first time it matters. And then that just gets us close enough to Lexington, and then we figure out how to get Mountain Stage, and we just bounce from there.
And the next thing you know, you'll be at Munchies in Beckley.
But I need Charlie to see Kafer Mountain.
And I will be happy to be the tour guide on that.
Yeah, and like I said, I also need that damn tomato sandwich there and Washington Bunker.
Yeah, no, Tamarack. All you got to do is get to Beckley. We'll get you to Tamarack, and you can get two fried green tomato sandwiches.
Oh, now I'm just being greedy. But, yeah, Bob, thank you so much, and thank you so much for the listeners, for real. And somebody, like I said, somebody bought based on what you played on Friday. And I think you'll enjoy what's on Nowhere. I would start with Daggers. The opening track is actually powerful.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna listen right after the program.
All right, man. We'll talk soon. Shoot me a text and let me know what you think. Your opinion actually.
Oh, I will. You know I will.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, Lee.
Love to the Redhead. Love to the Horn family.
Absolutely, and give our best to the band, man.
Swat.
All right, later. That's our buddy Lee calling from Austin, and eventually going to be back on the road with Choctaw Wildfire again. ChoctawWildfire.com. 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 And, Lee mentioned fundraising. Yeah, we're still $125 away from the fundraising goal for this evening. We had an anonymous meeting of Steve's kind challenge. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, anonymous contributor. Let's run over to the Gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Greetings, Associate Bob.
Well, greetings, Associate Devin. What have you done for capitalism today?
Well, nothing, but I tell you what, I've got methane filled pants. Will those work?
Maybe for the folks who are never near open flame. But apart from that, sorry, no. I mean, we learned, you know, we learned that with the whole Hindenburg thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, West Virginia seems to be in love with methane right now, so. That and melting people.
Well, just don't hose yourself down in fracking fluid, because then the boys at the dock in the box can't treat you because they don't know what the hell's in it.
Dock in the box. Jesus, Bob.
Well, it's better than quacking jack, right?
Yeah, but it's the not a dock in a box.
Apparently, though, there really was a real dock there. Now, if he'd been down this way, he would have seen the not a doctor.
I suppose you probably know why I'm calling, right?
No.
Well, I'm calling to let folks know about one of our former compatriots here, Sergi, and what's going on with him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He had this run in with some cops who profiled him, and they arrested him for possession of criminal instruments, because he had, you know,
Allen wrenches
in his backpack, yeah, for the bicycle that he rides. And, of course, you know, they civil forfeitured, you know, everything he had on him. And, of course, they, because he was arrested, even though the magistrates, you know, said there's no there, and, you know, refused to, you know, arraign him on any charges, they violated his probation, and now he is sitting in the Denton County Jail. They arraigned him today, and they, for, you know, alleged probation violation. And there's no bail or bond, because, you know, apparently
they're going to hold him pending the hearing.
Yeah.
Does so
he must be some sort of
shape-shifting ninja assassin
or something?
Has he gotten counsel yet?
He has applied for public defender. They have not provided one as of yet. There are some of us on the outside who are, you know, working on, you know, trying to find somebody on the outside who, you know, maybe could help him. Haven't had any luck just yet, but we're trying.
Well, I
but,
mean,
he is.
If he's filled out the paperwork, I would presume that he will have counsel.
Well, it said in his contract, that he has the right to it, counsel. So, but you know how it goes. They're very overworked, and he may not even meet counsel until he's sitting in the courtroom.
Kinda. But when's the last time you heard from him?
I heard from him a couple of days ago. I talked to his representative or coordinator on the outside, a fellow locally down there. He has to, disseminate information and such. And, he's the one who told me about the, not letting him have any, bond. His next hearing would be on the 28th. And Sergei is going on hunger strike to protest the mistreatment by the county. So I don't agree with it, but it's what he's doing, and so I'll tell people that that's what's happening. He's asked for anybody who can spread the word about that, please do so. And anybody who can contact the Denton or Tarrant County officials, that would be, appreciated too.
Well, I don't know that nasty phone calls from anybody's going to do any good in this situation. Once you're in the jaws of the judicial system, it's a different thing from being roughed up by some cop on the beat.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't recommend anybody make a nasty phone call. Certainly.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation all the way around. And what he needs more than anything else is counsel. Because, a lawyer in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Idaho cannot answer questions about matters of the law in Texas, and Texas is a brutal damn place.
Absolutely.
And see, I'm trying
to find somebody in Texas.
If he's applied for public defender, they can't just throw the paperwork under the table and pretend it didn't happen. I mean, that doesn't happen. The court will have to rule on his application. Now, if a probation and again, I'm talking about shit I know nothing about. I'm just guessing generally, but to the extent that a forfeiture of freedom can take place, that means that criminal jeopardy has attached, because what he's in, like you said, the magistrate dismissed the Allen wrench charge, which sounds pretty much like a bullshit charge anyway, but
it was.
But what happens is your probation agreement says that you will remain law-abiding and not run afoul of law enforcement. So, they're not going to relitigate what he's got a conviction on. They're not going to litigate the Allen wrenches. they're going to litigate whether or not he violated the express terms and conditions of his probation agreement, which he signed an agreement to.
That's right. Of course, that's the question, though. Does not being not being charged and not being convicted,
don't matter. It's Texas. It yeah. may not matter.
That's right.
And so, you know, the adjudication is whether he should actually be imprisoned for what he did in the original bust. Because yeah. that's what he got on probation for.
And my understanding is there's no jury, it's just a judge.
No, there's no jury. You're not going to... No, the only way you'd have a jury is if you were relitigating whether or not he was guilty of the charge to which he pled guilty. He pled guilty. So that's not going to be litigated. The question is whether or not he violated the express written terms and conditions within the four corners of the document of his probation.
And I don't know. I don't know the terms of, you know, what happened with the original trial or anything like that. So,
well, it may have been a trial. It may have, you know, he pled guilty. I mean, since he was admitted to probation, he may have pled out. But again, these are things we do not know.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what
can't really speculate on that, but. You know, all we can look at is, you know, what we know and going forward. So.
Yeah. Let me see.
Yeah, that is the biggest thing. He needs counsel.
Yeah, and that ruling should be forthcoming.
I hope so.
I do too. I do too. And what they, you know, what they may do is, and you know, this is it's a rough and a shitty form of justice, and this is purely speculative. They may let him sit there for a month, and then say, "Well, son, have you learned your lesson?" "Yes, Your Honor, I have." "Well, we're gonna put you back on probation. Don't need you carrying any more Allen wrenches with your bicycle, nor running around without proper bicycle lights on." So I mean, it's damned hard. The criminal justice system is a brutal, damned system. It's brutal enough that it probably should not. The word justice should not be. It's just the criminal law system, the criminal punishment system, the criminal anything but justice system.
I would more classify it as the lynch mob vengeance system, but because it seems to just be about vengeance and doesn't really care whether it's the right person to even be rendering vengeance on most of the time.
This is Merca. And you yep. get as much justice in this country as you can afford. So is it Tarrant County?
It's Denton County is where he's at.
Okay, I don't know my Texas very well. I didn't know that Denton was a county and a city.
Yeah, he lived his place of residence is in Tarrant County. Denton County is, you know, where the original charge was brought. So,
so they arrested him on they arrested him for the Allen wrenches in Tarrant County, and then transferred
Correct.
Him to Denton.
Well, they put out a warrant for him, and he turned himself in.
Well, at least he did the right thing in that regard.
So, yeah, it's... And, you know, Denton County, they just saw, oh, well, there's an arrest. So, and they put out the, put out a warrant.
Well, it's probably computer-based.
Yeah. And, you know, there was no, you know, there was no waiting for the, you know, to see if there was an actual charge brought or anything like that. It just...
No, because it triggers because you've had an interaction with police.
Yeah.
I mean, probation is a foot of the cross thing, and it is a hard thing. I mean, you probably know. Read your newspaper on any given day in West Virginia, you can find somebody that's been revoked because his probation officer just happened to wander into the house and Cletus didn't understand that he couldn't have that six-pack of Bud Light in the refrigerator. And as they're hauling him out the door, he says, but that ain't mine, that's the old lady's. And the probation officer says, don't give a shit. You signed, baby. Sad to say, we have run out of time, Devin, but I appreciate you bringing it up.
Well, if anybody wants to talk to me about it or whatever, I can give them an email that they can, you know, drop me a line.
All right. Well, do you want to give out your personal email on the air, or do you want to let them reach you through Skype? Because I mean, you're probably hooked up with folks through Skype already, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Just you could if you know me on Skype, get a hold of me, or drop.
Drop me a line and I'll forward it to you. Drop me a line and I'll forward it to you. Yeah. There we go. All right, we got to get out of here, Devin.
Okay.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye now. That's tough business. Tough business indeed. Thanks, everybody, for joining in for this Titanic Tuesday. I enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. It really is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for making all of this happen. We closed the evening at $125 down. Hopefully that'll clear out before tomorrow evening. Thanks to all of you for sharing your time. Thank you for keeping us on the air, and thanks to our all-volunteer staff. And, yes, always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.